The title is a reading from Homer, and yet we see no indications of anyone reading, either to themselves privately or aloud to others. In fact, the storyteller at right, crowned in a wreath of laurel leaves and gesticulating with his left arm, is decidedly looking away from the scroll that unfurls in his lap. Moreover, this painting does not even illustrate a specific scene from Homer's Iliad or Odyssey. Despite the title, then, Alma Tadema's painting showcases the oral transmission of culture across the ages. Unlike the Victorian male elite, who spent long hours studying ancient Latin Greek texts in pedantic exercises at grammar schools and at university, Alma Tadema favored a vision of the ancient world that was anything but dry. His paintings were accessible to those outside academia, and thus more democratic in their appeal. In a reading from Homer, the marble bench even seems to curve towards the viewer's space, as if offering an invitation to participate in this gathering. In fact, at the Royal Academy Exhibition of 1885, art critic Claude Phillips perceived the populist element of this painting, although he interpreted it negatively. While acknowledging that the painting demonstrates Alma Tadema's usual mastery of light, color, texture, and drawing, Phillips nonetheless disapproved of the figures themselves. The facial types, though they have an air of realistic truth, are of a low order, and not such as should be selected for a subject. Here Phillips draws upon the contemporary pseudoscientific discourse of phrenology and physiognomy, which has argued that an individual's character was legible through the shape of the head and facial features. For Phillips, the supposedly low nature of the figures' faces was corroborated by their lethargic attitudes, and he preferred paintings with classical themes that elevated the viewer by featuring noble people doing noble deeds. By Victorian standards, the people in the painting were not beautiful. And Victorian culture equated physical beauty with goodness of character. Therefore, these less than beautiful people were exhibiting their low character with their indolent poses and slow responses in ways that only the unlovely could. Alma Tadema's vision of antiquity was decidedly different than that. He was a key figure in the mid to late Victorian classical revival. We can think back to the neoclassical movement of the century before. A product of the Enlightenment, neoclassical art favored the cerebral over the sensual, and themes that promoted reason, civic virtue, and heroism. Think of Jacques-Louis David's Oath of the Horatii from 1784, which shows three brothers who vow to go to war and sacrifice their lives for Rome. By contrast, in a reading of Homer, Alma Tadema shows a group of languorous figures enjoying the sensory delights of a warm Mediterranean day by the sea, withdrawing into private worlds of reverie rather than being urged into collective public action. Here, Alma Tadema's criticism also engages with the mid-Victorian aesthetic movement, which emphasizes the aesthetic qualities of art over the narrative. And a reading from Homer resembles Albert Moore's A Musician of about 1867. The lyres in both Moore and Alma Tadema's paintings underscore the aesthetic musical approach to painting, encouraging the viewer to look at paintings in terms of harmonies, rhythms, and contrasts, rather than offering any specific narrative moment or moral meaning. In a reading from Homer, the viewer can appreciate a series of visual contrasts that offer a pleasing sense of balance and harmony. The angular geometries of the marble architecture on the left, which transforms into the sweeping curve of the bench at right, the figures resting in cool shadow against the bright glowing marble and sunlit water, the palette of whites and blues and browns, punctuated by the loud accents of the red tambourine and fuchsia roses. Alma Tadema delighted in the day-to-day materiality of the past. In a reading from Homer, we can see the skill with which he depicts the translucency of the marble, tinged blue by the light from the sky and water, the soft fur tunic worn by the reclining man, and the lyre with all strings carefully delineated. Alma Tadema's attention to artifacts and architecture represents an archaeological approach. The second half of the 19th century was a great age of archaeological study and excavation, with studies being made in Mediterranean and Near Eastern sites such as Knossos, Mycenae, and even the famed Homeric city of Troy. Alma Tadema himself regularly visited Pompeii, the Museo Nazionale in Naples, the Vatican Museum, and Rome for archaeological inspiration. At home in London, he also had a great resource in the British Museum. Because of Alma Tadema's pleasure in depicting the material objects and structure of the past, critics have sometimes been unkind in their view of him. Critic and curator Roger Fry, who helped introduce post-impressionism to Britain, denounced Alma Tadema as representing an extreme instance of the commercial materialism of our civilization. This view was further cemented by the fact that his art was collected by wealthy capitalists of his day. A reading from Homer was purchased by American financier Henry Marcand, then president of the Metropolitan Museum, to go in the music room of his New York mansion. A reading from Homer offered visitors to Marcand's home a sort of mirror to their own behavior. Like the figures in the painting, these Gilded Age elite would gather in the music room to listen to a performance or recital. They would also witness Alma Tadema's artistic performance by proxy in the form of this painting. Inscribed on the seat beneath the storyteller is Alma Tadema's signature, suggesting the artist's identification with this figure. Like the Homeric storyteller, Alma Tadema captures his audience through his artistic performance, bringing visions of the ancient world to life.